Fade shape automation on resampled tails in drum and bass in Ableton Live, intermediate level. Let's go. Today we're focusing on something that separates a pretty good roller from a track that feels intentional and mixed. Tails, the end of a bass stab, the smear after a distorted hit, that little wash that leaks into the next 16th tails are either groove glue, or they're the reason your snare suddenly feels small. The goal of this lesson is simple: resample a sound into audio, then shape its tail using fades and fade-like automation methods so it sits in the pocket, stays out of the way of the kick and snare, and still sounds huge and evolving over a phrase. By the end, you'll have a 16-bar DNB loop where the pattern can stay the same, but the energy moves because the decay behavior changes. First, set the scene. Set your tempo around 174 BPM. Anywhere from 170 to 176 is fine, but let's live at 174 for the lesson. Build a basic DNB drum loop, kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4, and 16th hats. If you want a more shuffled, jungle-leaning feel, grab a groove-like swing 16-65 and apply it lightly. Think 5 to 15%. Just enough that the hats breathe, not enough that the whole track trips. Now we need a sound that wants to tail out. Start with a bass stab. MIDI is easiest at first, because you can iterate fast, then commit to audio when it's vibing. Use wavetable or operator, 2 oscillators, slight detune for width. Low pass somewhere in the 150 to 400 range depending how aggressive the tone is. Then add saturator, drive maybe 2 to 8 dB, soft clip on. Toss an auto filter after that if you want to tame fizz or add motion. Chorus ensemble is optional if you're going for that classic Reese thickness. And then EQ8, high pass around 25 to 35 Hz, and if it's boxy, a small dip around 200 to 350. Write a stab pattern that creates urgency. For example, hits on the end of 1, maybe the E of 2, and a couple of 16ths before the snare. That pre-snare area is exactly where tails can either create forward motion or they can steal the snare impact. So we're going to control that. Now we resample. You've got 2 main workflows. Option A is freeze and flatten. Fastest. Right-click your MIDI track, freeze, then right-click again, flatten. Done. Now it's audio and you can do surgical edits. Option B is classic resampling, and this is the move when you care about printing effects tails, like reverb spray or delay grit. Make a new audio track called Resample. Set audio from to your bass track, or choose resampling if you want to capture the entire master chain. Arm the resample track, record 8 to 16 bars, then trim your clip cleanly. Quick teacher note, in DNB, printing the tail matters because the tail is part of the sound. Reverb and distortion behave differently when they're real audio versus a live chain reacting slightly differently each pass. Printing makes it consistent and editable. Next, make sure you can actually see and edit fades. Double-click your audio clip to open it in clip view. Enable fades so you can see the fade handles at the top corners of the waveform. Ableton has clip fades inside the clip, and then there's automation on the track like volume or utility gain. Today we'll use both concepts. Clip fades for surgical shaping and automation methods to create evolving behavior across the phrase. Now, build a controlled tail with a fade-out shape. Zoom in on 1 stab. Grab the top right fade handle and pull it left to create a fade-out. Start tight. 30 to 120 milliseconds is great for punchy stabs. If you want a washier decay, try 200 to 600 milliseconds. Then adjust the curve shape. This is the secret sauce. If you make the curve more exponential, it stays loud for a moment, then drops fast near the end. That's amazing when you want weight and impact, but you need it to get out of the way quickly before the snare. If you make it more linear or logarithmic, the fade feels gentler and floatier, like the sound is sighing out instead of being chopped. Here's the mindset shift. Don't think tail length. Think masking windows. In DNB, the collisions that matter are usually right after the transient, like 20 to 80 milliseconds after the hit, where punch lives. And the other big danger zone is the last 1/16 before the snare, where low mids and distortion haze can steal impact. So you're not just making a pretty decay, you're aiming the tail so it misses those windows. Also, use the waveform. If your tail looks like a thick low mid sausage that stays dense right up to the snare, you're going to fight the mix later. Shape it now. Let the fade do the boring work early. And one more detail. Micro fade-ins. A 2 to 10 millisecond fade-in prevents clicks. Yes. But it's also a tone control. On resampled distortion, a slightly longer fade-in, like 10 to 20 milliseconds, can soften harsh edges without EQ. Try it on mid-range layers especially. It can turn sandpaper into weight. Now, the fun part. making fade behavior evolve across the phrase. Clip fades themselves are typically something you automate with an automation lane like a knob. So the practical fade automation approaches are about controlling level and decay behavior with tools that can change over time. Method 1. Slice to new MIDI track. Right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to new MIDI track. Use transients for stabs, or 1/16 if you want strict grid control. Now each hit lives in simpler. In simpler, shape each slice's tail using the amp envelope. Release is your tail length knob. Short release tightens. Longer release lets it bloom. This is effectively fade automation because now, across your MIDI clip, different hits can have different envelope behavior. You can duplicate slices to different pads with different release times, then program which one plays where. That's variation without changing the core rhythm. Bonus move, map release and a low-pass cutoff to a single macro. Short release plus lower cutoff equals tight and dark. Longer release plus higher cutoff equals open and washed. Now you can automate tail attitude with one lane for entire sections. Method 2. Utility gain automation. Fast, musical, and super practical. Put utility after your audio on the resampled track. Now automate gain down during the tail zones. Draw different curves every 4 or 8 bars. For example, bars 1 to 4, longer and smoother gain reduction, so it feels set and vibey. Bars 5 to 8, tighten it up, especially before 2 and 4, so the snare punches. Bars 9 to 16, add one super short tail right before snare to create a little vacuum, like the mix inhales and then the snare hits. You can fade from 0 dB down to negative infinity if you want true silence, but don't ignore the ghost tail technique. Instead of killing it, fade to a low fixed level like minus 24 to minus 36 dB. That keeps continuity and vibe without clutter. Method 3. Gate or envelope style cutting for darker rollers. Add a gate after the audio. Set the threshold so the transient opens the gate. Set return really low for silence. Then use release as your tail length, somewhere around 30 to 200 milliseconds depending on the vibe. Now automate the gate release across the phrase. That gives you fade-like behavior, but it's locked to dynamics, which can feel really tight and aggressive for neuro-ish or heavy rollers. At this point you can already build an evolving 16-bar loop, but there's a classic jungle and modern DNB trick that makes this even bigger while keeping the hits clean. Make a tail layer. Duplicate your resampled bass track. Name one bass hit. That's the punchy one. Name the other bass tail. That's the atmosphere. On bass tail, add reverb and delay. Hybrid reverb or reverb. Decay around 1.2 to 3.5 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 30 milliseconds, high cut around 4 to 8 kHz so it stays dark, then echo or delay, 1/8 or 1/16 time, feedback around 10 to 25%, and filter it darker. Then EQ it aggressively, high pass 150 to 300 hz, non-negotiable, reverb on bass without filtering is a mod generator. Now resample that tail layer again, so it becomes its own audio. And then use clip fades on the tail audio to shape ambience like an instrument. Longer fades at the end of phrases. Steeper curves before snares. And if the mix is getting wobbly, keep the low end disciplined. Use utility to mono the low frequencies on the tail layer, somewhere around 120 to 200 hz. Pro move, tail sidechain to the snare. Put a compressor on the tail layer, sidechain it from the snare. Ratio 3:1:6:1. Attack 1 to 10 milliseconds, release 60 to 180. Now the atmosphere ducks exactly when the snare speaks, so you get size without losing smack. Another pro move, distortion placement. If you distort before you fade, sometimes the tail gets fizzy and annoying. Try fading first, then saturating, then EQ cleanup. It often gives a more controlled decay. And remember, fading doesn't always need to be volume down. You can do psychoacoustic fading. Automate a filter closing during the tail. The sound darkens as it decays, so it moves out of the way without a dramatic volume dip. Now let's map an arrangement concept over 16 bars so this doesn't feel like a static loop. Bars 1 to 4, medium tails, gentle curve. Establish the vibe. Bars 5 to 8, tighten tails before snares. More punch. Bars 9 to 12, pick one hit every 2 bars and give it a longer, smoother tail. Call and response. Bars 13 to 16. Pre-drop tension, shorten most tails, darken the tail layer, then allow one longer tail to lead into bar 17. If you want a hook without changing the pattern, try the pre-snare vacuum idea. Make the last bass hit before the snare shorter than you think, so there's a moment of negative space, and the snare reverb becomes the only tail. that can make a basic loop sound like it's already been mixed by someone serious. Common mistakes to avoid while you're doing all this. 1. Letting tails eat the snare. At 174, your snare needs space. If the snare suddenly feels less confident, steepen the fade, shorten the release, or sidechain the tail. 2. Fading the sub when you meant to fade the character. If your tail includes sub, it will blur the groove. Consider splitting layers. Stable mono sub, mid-bass with tails and distortion, and a high-pass tail FX layer. 3. Clicking and popping at clip edges. Always add tiny fade-ins. 2 to 10 milliseconds is your insurance. 4. Overwhet tails without filtering. High-pass your tail layer and keep width mostly in the highs. If the tail feels expensive, but collapses in mono, narrow the 200 to 600 Hz area and keep your stereo width above about 1 to 2 kHz. 5. Leaving tail behavior static for too long. DNB gets repetitive fast. Even subtle fade curve changes every 8 or 16 bars keep it alive. Now, a quick practice exercise you can actually do right now. Make a 2-bar rolling bass stab pattern and get it into audio. Duplicate it to 16 bars. Bars 1 to 4. Fade outs around 150 to 250 milliseconds, gentle curve. Bars 5 to 8, any hit within a 1/16 before the snare gets tightened. Fade out 50 to 120 milliseconds, steeper curve. Bars 9 to 12, choose one hit per 2 bars and give it a longer tail, 300 to 600 milliseconds, smooth curve. Bars 13 to 16, do the opposite. Most tails short, then one long, dark tail into bar 17. Then bounce two versions. Version A, static tails. Version B, your shaped and varied tails. When you /B them, listen at low volume. If the snare still pops and the groove still reads quietly, your tail shaping is working. Loud listening can hide masking. Quiet listening exposes it. Wrap up. Resampling turns sound design into something you can mix and control like a real object. Fade shapes are microarrangement tools in DNB. They decide what hits, what clears, and what lingers. Use clip fades for surgical cleanup and natural decays. Use utility gain, gate, or simpler envelopes when you want something you can vary and automate across a phrase. And when you want huge atmosphere without losing punch, print a dedicated tail layer, filter it hard, and sidechain it smart. This audio version is shortened for playback.